As a business and leadership mentor, wife, and mom, I know that building a legacy business as a high-performing female entrepreneur can be overwhelming when you play many demanding roles in your life. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. You can be a powerful, high performer in your career, plus enjoy a fulfilling marriage and be a great mom all at the same time. Join me and my guests every week to get the inside scoop on what it really looks like to build a high growth business while living a life truly aligned with your family and personal values. Hey, hey, welcome back to the Built to Last show. This is Megan Huber, and I have had quite a busy week this week. I've been traveling to California. I was in Newport Beach for a client's live event. It was absolutely incredible. I left today and flew to Vegas, or today meaning the day that I'm recording this. Flew to Vegas for another event with my incredible friend, Shamika Tankerson, at the Game On Live event, where I will be speaking in a couple of days. And I was just sitting here on my bed, working on my slides for the presentation that I'm going to be giving. And I decided to change my opening story. You know, when you give a presentation on stage, I think one of the best ways when you, as soon as you step on stage, is start with a story that really resonates and touches your audience. And the story that I was planning on starting with, I'm still going to tell. But the reason why I decided to shift the beginning of my presentation that's going to happen in a couple of days came from one of the speakers that I heard at the event I would just left from Newport Beach with Brooke Thomas. It's a Live Out Loud experience. It was literally life-changing. It was so incredible. We started every single day worshiping with Meredith Andrews for 30 minutes in the morning. It was absolutely incredible. And God was just in the room the entire time. It's such a beautiful way to be building a business and leading our lives with God as our CEO. And one of the speakers was Ruth Fernandez. And she said this line. I don't remember exactly what she was talking about in this moment, but I'm going to lead with this story that it made me think of when I give my talk in a couple of days. So I want to share it with you here first. And she said, "You can't bring people to the border and leave them there. You have to walk them through the territory." And if you've listened to this show for a number of episodes, then you know that I focus on client experience that leads to a higher degree of client results and client success, which leads to higher rates of retention and referrals, even reactivations, which impacts your profit and your bottom line more than anything else will in your business. And I typically work with companies that are in the education and coaching category that have experienced rapid growth with their team and their client enrollment in a short period of time. And they're starting to see their retention rates go down, their attrition rates go up. They're not really even sure how many of their clients are there through referrals. And they recognize just through their numbers and their finances, the metrics, the KPIs, that things are not going in the direction that they desire, and that client acquisition and focusing on marketing and sales predominantly is not enough because it's not going to get them to where they want to go. So my business partner, Nikki Nash, and I get brought in, and our focus first is on client delivery, client fulfillment. How are we serving our clients? Because it is our clients that are really keeping us in business. If we don't have the clients or we don't have the longevity of our clients, it's going to be really hard to stay in business for a long period of time. And the statement that Ruth made, you can't bring people to the border and leave them there. You have to walk them through the territory. It really made me think about how we are leading our clients through our programs and through our ecosystem so that they do get incredible results, so that they do have a fabulous experience, so that they do stay with us longer, so that they do bring other people along with them. And it made me think of my family. My mom is an immigrant. She was born in Germany in 1948. Her mom's from Germany. Her father's from Poland. He somehow escaped Poland in the early 40s during war times. My grandmother escaped from one side of Germany to the other. And their story is full of, you know, escaping territory where there were bombs. They would have to hide underneath vehicles or wagons. There are stories of my grandmother who basically hitchhiked with soldiers inside of their vehicles when they were growing, you know, traveling from one part of the country to another. Just really, really crazy stories. Things that you and I have probably never had to live through. So my mom was born in 1948, and my mom's family, at the time they had three children, they had another when they came to America, they decided to come to America. They didn't have hardly any possessions. They brought one wooden chest of possessions, got on a ship, and came across the Atlantic Ocean and landed on the border of America in Ellis Island. And that's where immigrants from Europe came back, at, you know, decades ago. They were processed back then. I don't know all the specifics, but families would be sponsored by someone who would connect with them at the border and in a way take them under their wing and give them, you know, help them find a place to live, help them find work. You know, keep in mind, my family didn't speak English. They didn't know a lot about the culture in America. They did not speak a lick of English. They had nowhere to live. They knew no one. And they literally had the clothes on their back and what little possessions they could fit in a very small wooden chest. And there was a man by the name of Scott Johnson who connected with my mom's family at the border and took them south to North Carolina, where they came to Chatham County, which is where I was born. I was born in and raised in Chatham County. It's right in the center of the state. It's kind of in the middle of the triangle. And I believe Scott Johnson probably lived, I think it was a farm. I mean, Chatham County back then, it was all farmland. And a lot of it still is. It's a very rural county. One of the largest counties in North Carolina. It's very rural, very small. I grew up in a town with 2,000 people. So he took them from Ellis Island to rural North Carolina in Chatham County, helped them find work, helped them find shelter, made sure they had food, helped them find jobs. Obviously, the children had to get registered for school, helped them integrate into community. They came to new territory and were walked through that territory by this man and others in the community so that they could have a better chance at thriving. They found a community. They found a church. They went to a church named Pleasant Hill United Methodist Church. My grandmother would even clean the church, I believe, on the weekends. And my mom got married in that church. We still go back sometimes for a homecoming. They found school. And they had people who would show them around and help them. Now, what if my mom and her family had gotten dropped off at the border and left to figure it out on their own with no other American who was English speaking, who was kind enough to put them in his vehicle or her vehicle and drive them hours and hours and hours to his community where he could provide for them? Where would they have gone? Where would they have lived? Where would they have found work? They didn't speak the language. They left behind everything they'd ever known. They left behind their home, their land, and every member of their family, knowing they'd never see them ever again. When I think about the courage, the bravery, and the faith that my grandparents had, it makes me so proud to be part of their lineage and part of their heritage. So what does any of this, what does this story have to do with you as a business owner? You know, many of you here listening, not all of you, but most of you are business owners. Many of you are online coaches, you're experts, you are educators, you are mentors, you are leaders of clients, of students, of community members. If you have a business, you are the leader of also a team of either contractors or employees. I just wonder, have you ever thought about this? How do your new clients feel at the border? They've swiped their credit card. They've signed a contract. They've decided to challenge the status quo, which, by the way, for all of us, is the hardest thing for any of us to do. None of us want to leave the status quo. Well, we say we do. Deep down, we do. But it is the hardest thing to break free from, the status quo. It's easier in our minds just to stay where we're at because it's certain. We're sure about it. We know how to function in it, even if we don't love it, even if we don't like it. And then we just repeat the same cycle over and over and over again. So in our minds, we can justify, let's just stay where we are, because one of our biggest fears is the pain that we think we're going to experience after taking the leap. What's on the other side of that? It's the unknown. We're afraid of that. So we stay in the status quo. It's a very, very scary thing for our clients to make that decision. That's the scariest part for them, to challenge their own status quo and then to take the action of swiping the credit card and signing the contract. It's scary. Scariest thing for a lot of people to do. It's our responsibility as coaches, as leaders, as mentors, as strategists, as business owners, whatever you decide to call yourself, to walk our clients through the territory. We have two options. We bring them into our territory. We either leave them at the border to fend for themselves, to figure it out. We say, well, here's the territory. I've built it all for you. It's all right here. All the videos, all the modules, all the instructions, all the directions, all the Zoom links, all the call times, all my knowledge, all my expertise, all my stories, the community. I built it. I made it. I got you here. I brought you here. You're here. Now figure it out. That's called leaving people at the border versus walking them through the territory. So what does it mean to walk our clients through the territory? You know, it starts with onboarding. It starts with the onboarding process. We have to acclimate our clients to our methodology, our intellectual property. What is the step-by-step process or set of phases? What are the steps that our clients must take that we have built for them to take, that we have simplified for them, that we have created in a way that seems very basic for them to take the first step, the second step, the third step, so that they can learn the knowledge required to get them where they want to go, where we've promised them we're going to take them, where to equip them with the skills they need to take action, to hold them accountable so they get results. So what's the knowledge that we're teaching them? What are the skills that we are equipping them with? What is the accountability that we have in place at every single stage and phase and step of the process? What are the actions that we are asking them to take, recommending for them to take, and holding their hand as they take those steps? Because guess what? They're going to get bumps and bruises. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to have fears. But we promise them in the marketing. We promise them in the sales. We told them, if you come and you swipe that credit card and you say yes and you leave behind the status quo, you're going to get XYZ result. It's our job to walk them through that process. If we don't lead them through the process, they will get stuck. They will stay at the border. And we all know who our clients are who stay at the border. They're the ones who are at the same place at the end of your program as they were when they started your program. And then we have a few, just a few, who manage to make it through and find their way around the territory. It's also our responsibility to surround our clients with the community that they need who will call them higher. That's part of leading people through the territory, to point out where they are holding themselves back and playing small. That's our responsibility, to lead them through milestones so that they can thrive in the ecosystem that we have built for them. They didn't build the ecosystem. They didn't build the territory. They didn't build the curriculum. They didn't build the success milestones. They didn't build the stages or phases. They didn't build the action steps they're supposed to take to get the results. You did. I did. So it's our job to walk them through the territory. It's not our job to lead them to the border and keep them there. So are you bringing people to the border and leaving them there to figure it out for themselves? Or are you walking them through your territory? There's three phases. There's so much I could say about walking people all the way through your territory. But I will end with this. You know, I love talking about the onboarding process, but I want to share really three phases of the onboarding process. I've shared before that onboarding has a beginning, a middle, and an end. It isn't just an orientation call. It isn't just a group coaching call to tell people how to access the portal with your videos and your modules. It's not just showing them the lay of the land, because honestly, that's really just leaving them stuck at the border. Okay, we've got to do better than that. So onboarding has a beginning, a middle, and an end that I like to call activate, acclimate, and accomplish. So what's happening at the activate stage? Well, at the activate stage, your clients have just joined your program. So they're in. They're in. You know, they did the thing. They swiped the credit card. They're in. And this is where we want to get to know our clients more intimately. We want to learn a little bit about their personality. We want to find out where they hold themselves back, what resistance looks like in their world when it shows up. We want to identify their meaning of success, how they define success. We want to find out what success is going to look like to them in this program. We want to find out how they feel. And typically when clients initially join your program, you know, the first few days, they're very, very excited. So we want to capitalize on that emotion. And your clients are going to go through a number of psychological emotions and feelings during the onboarding phase. We want to train our clients in the activate stage of onboarding to take ownership. What does it look like for your clients to take ownership of their intentions, of their desired outcome? I worked with a really phenomenal coach for a couple of years by the name of Michael Burnoff. And at every event that I went to, event or retreat I went to as a member of his programs, he would spend the first hour setting the tone for our time together and setting the tone for those of us in the room really taking ownership of the results we were going to get. And we always started with setting intentions or writing down what our desired outcome was for the event. He wasn't telling us what our outcome should be. He had his own outcome for the event. But he would ask us to write down our desired outcome. And then he would ask us, what is it going to look like? What does it look like in terms of action that I'll take in order to achieve that particular outcome for myself? How will I know when I have achieved that outcome? He didn't need to tell me the answers. I knew what the answers were. I remember my first event that I went to, my desired outcome was to speak up more, to be more confident speaking up. I think that's what I put on my page. To gain confidence in speaking up, or to be more confident in speaking up. Well, what did that look like for me? That looks like if he asked for volunteers, to be one of the volunteers. If I were doing an exercise or an activity with a small group of people, to engage. In fact, to be one of the first few to engage instead of waiting to speak last. If he asked a question to the audience, be the first to raise your hand. If there was an opportunity to speak at the microphone and to share a takeaway, to raise my hand, get the mic, and stand up and share it. So it made it so much more easy for me to take the action and own it and own receiving the outcome, which was really building my confidence in speaking up more. Also, in the activate phase of onboarding, we have to rebuild our trust all over again with our clients. You know, we're taught so much to build a know, like, and trust at the marketing and sales phase, but then we forget our clients are going to immediately judge us all over again because now we've entered into a new relationship. We're no longer a lead or a prospect. Now we're a client. And that is a different relationship. Are you actually going to deliver what you said you're going to deliver? And our clients are going to immediately start poking holes in everything. They're going to start judging all over again. They're going to see if you honor the promise that you just made to them to make the sale. So what are you going to do to rebuild their trust? Set them on a trajectory to win. What does their learning pathway look like? In the onboarding phase, I'm a really big fan of helping our clients achieve a result that's going to set them up for success and to win throughout the remainder of the program. What is that going to look like in your ecosystem? And help them move beyond the status quo. So we want to do a substantial amount of mindset work in the onboarding phase because our clients are still going to try to cling to what they know, which is the status quo, even though they've joined. Phase two of onboarding is what I call the acclimate phase. This is when you are helping your clients get bought into your approach. So whatever your methodology is, what's the initial phase of your methodology that clients need to complete, have an understanding of, have put into practice, have taken action on, and have gotten a result? I'll give an example. My business partner and I are working with a real estate investing company. We are in the audit phase before working with them long term. And one of the things that we are finding out is that many of the clients do not renew after 1 year. It's a $20,000 program. They have thousands of students. And a lot of clients are not renewing because they didn't make a deal in the real estate investing program. And so they don't have any money to reinvest because they took out money to try to do a deal, didn't make a deal. There's a portal with lots and lots and lots of video trainings. And in fact, there are 66 hours of video trainings. But the number one thing that we're hearing from clients is, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what real estate investing strategy to move forward with because I don't know which one is best for me. And I'm so overwhelmed that I can't actually figure out like what are the few steps I need to take and what do I really need to understand just to make my first deal. And we have heard like clients are not only their 66 hours of videos they have available to them that are not really taking them through any type of step-by-step process. It's just all there. They also have access to 12 support calls throughout the week. And they are topic-based. But we've heard from the coaches on those calls that about 80% of the people who show up to them have no business being there because they're not advanced enough. And so what that tells us is that the approach has not been laid out for the clients and a roadmap hasn't been given to them in a simple way to help them close their first deal, which should actually happen in onboarding. And then once they close the first deal, then they can move on to whatever they should be doing next. So you want to give your clients a roadmap to follow and keep it simple. Keep it back to the basics. You got to dial it all the way back to the basics to help them acclimate. Because remember, the toughest thing that you're doing with your clients in this phase is you're helping them break free from the status quo. Just because they're in your program doesn't mean that they have completely broken away from that. They're going to try to go back to it. They're going to try to maintain status quo in your program in the first few months. And if we can't get them to fully break away from status quo in the first 0 to 90 days of the program, then they're probably not going to make it. Show them how to get a win. Show them how to get a win and show them how to get it quickly and celebrate your clients when they do. And then the third phase of onboarding is what I call accomplish. This is really the end of the onboarding phase. Onboarding ends when the client achieves a result, not anytime sooner. And you also want to check in for feedback. Get feedback from your clients. That's the very first time throughout your program that you should be asking for client feedback. And there's not a lot that you need to find out. Find out what specific results they've achieved, because that's something you want to be tracking. You know, how many of your clients are generating a significant result in the first 30, 60, 90 days of your program? What percentage of them are, and what is that result? Because that's something you could be using in your marketing. We want to track our clients' progress from beginning to end. So find out what those results are, honor them for it, recognize them, celebrate them publicly. Find out what their client experience satisfaction score is. You could also call it their happiness score on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest. How satisfied are they? You want to see 8s, 9s, and 10s. If you see 1s through 7s, you need to get on a call with them and find out what they're unhappy about, because you still have enough time to turn that ship around. Between days 0 and 90 of joining a program, that's actually when a client decides if they're going to stay with you long-term or not. That fast. They're figuring it out that fast. So the onboarding phase is the most critical phase of the entire experience that you're providing your clients. Also, find out how your clients feel. So I'll say those one more time. In the accomplish phase, they finish onboarding because they got the result that's in your onboarding phase. Truly, before you unlock what they should be doing next in your program, or you're unlocking the next videos or modules or trainings or steps that are a little bit more advanced, they cannot pass go until they successfully graduate from onboarding. People just need to stay in onboarding until they successfully graduate, which is to get that result. And in the case of the example I gave with the real estate investing program that we are working with, their clients need to close a deal. Their clients really need to close a deal before they go on to the next level in the program, in the year-long program. We actually mapped out a process for them with different cohorts and milestones that would allow for clients to really stay in their ecosystem for at least 3 to 5 years, when right now, most of them are only staying a year. So, I mean, just imagine the profit that they're going to experience from that. So we want to find out the specific results they achieved. You want to find out their client experience satisfaction score, or their happiness score on a scale of 1 to 10. And you want to ask them how they feel about their experience. Then when it comes to referrals, I'll end with this because I don't want to get into a whole conversation about referrals. But if your clients are unsatisfied and they're scoring their level of satisfaction a 1 through a 4, that's indicating that they're a very unhappy client. You're never going to get a referral from that person. That's why this is so important. If they're scoring their happiness score or satisfaction score between a 5 and a 7, they are unlikely to refer soon. And if they're scoring their satisfaction score an 8 through a 10, they start sending them tools to refer. And I can do another episode on what those tools are. So 8 to a 10 is go ahead and start asking your clients to refer, because you want to ask people to refer when they have experienced a win, right on the heels of that. You don't want to wait until the end of the program when they may or may not be renewing, because if they're not renewing, they're not referring. So that's really important. So the biggest thing that I want you to walk away with is asking yourself the question, am I bringing my clients to the border and leaving them there? Or am I walking them through my territory? And many of you may actually be first generation in Americans or second generation Americans. Maybe your grandparents immigrated, most likely from Europe. I'm a first generation American on my mom's side. And when I think about the companies that I work with, and I'm working with helping them turn around their client experience and how they deliver and how they fulfill so that they make more profit and so that they have higher rates of retention and referrals and reactivations and renewals and resells and cross sells and upsells with their clients, I want my clients to make more money. I want my clients' clients to be getting insane level results. But it does make me think, what if my family, who came across on that boat with little children and the clothes on their backs, not speaking a word of the native language of the country they're coming to, what if they just got dropped off at the border and left? What would their life had been like? What would my life be like today if my family had just been left at the border versus shown around the territory of America and shown how to really live the American dream here? That's truly what we are giving our clients. So are we leaving them at the border or are we walking them through the territory? I hope that you have found some incredible value. I want to encourage you to think about that question and make some tweaks, make some shifts, make some adaptations inside of your program. If you've loved this episode, I would appreciate you so much for sharing our episode on social media. Share it with your friends, with your colleagues, with your clients, with your family members. It's the only and number one way that we can increase our listenership and get our episodes into the lives of other business owners just like you. So please share it out. Leave us a review. If you love the episode, 5 stars would be amazing. And until next time, remember to build a business and life that's built to last. Thank you so much for tuning into the Built to Last show. If you're loving the show and have gotten any value out of it for your business and life, would you mind doing 2 things? Subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode and leave us a review. Our listener reviews helps us get more visibility and reach more people just like you. Help us make a difference for more entrepreneurs by helping them grow their businesses in a way that aligns with their life, family, and core values. Thank you so much for being part of our community and tuning into the show each week.